Today's daf in Masechet Chulin is daf Kuf Chav Zayin. We are holding in the middle of the sugya of how we learn out the various types of shratzim from the posik. The question is what the names in the posik refer to. So yesterday we spoke about Achbar. The question is whether we have to identify as an Achbar anything that has that name. How do we know for certain that the Achbar that we're talking about is only the common Achbar, meaning the one that we're used to growing on the land, even though there are fish? Fish doesn't necessarily mean what we call fish in English, but there are sea creatures that also have the name Achbar in Hebrew, and how do we know that the Torah doesn't include that? The reason we got to that was because we needed to be derish the Achbar shechetzio basar vechetzio adama, and to distinguish between its inclusion in the din of Tumas Achbar and the exclusion of the Achbar shebeyam. Once again, The fact that the Mishnah deals with an Achbar Shechetzio Basar Vechetzio Adama in no way implies that such a thing exists. And it in no way implies that particularly the Mishnah believes that it exists. All that it implies is that the question is brought bifnei, and this is the Rambam says he himself has heard innumerable accounts of the existence of such a thing. And the question is, what would be the din? There's no reason why it's up to the Rav that the question is brought to discover whether these are the facts or not the facts. If there's somebody saying there is such a thing or not such a thing, it's none of my business. If there is such a thing, what's the halach? In any event, the Gemara darshaned yesterday that we're derish ala aretz to mean dafka ala aretz, and this excludes now the achbar shebiyam, but we also have hashoreitz to mean hashoreitz even if an achbar shebaaretz is in the yam. Since it can be shoreitz in the yam, it's betam in the yam as well. What's interesting is there is a special halakha about Tumah and the Yam, which we're going to get to ultimately, which is only the Gesophic Tumah, but it's still interesting that this Havamina has a certain application, except it's limited to a very specific location. Then the question is, why not Darshan? Why not Darshan that Hashoretz means Dafka, something that sexually reproduces? Okay, and this the Gemara learns out, but what's interesting, that was yesterday. What's interesting to us today is that a certain Talmud suggests we should try it the other way. Maybe we should say, and we got up to yesterday, one-fourth of the way down approximately, we're up to Omar Le Ahu Midarabana Lura. So one of the Talmidim said, Rava, why did you learn it that way? Maybe we should invert it, and we should say that Basheretz is Dafka coming Latuye Achbar Shechetzio Basar Vechetzio Adama, because we have still the anything that would crawl, and Hashoreitz would come to be telling me anything that reproduces, even an Achbar Shebiyam. So that way we would be able to have even Achbar Shebiyam being Matami, not like you said, you brought a raya from Al Ha'aretz, that only that which is Al Ha'aretz is Matami. Maybe say just the opposite. Maybe say Al Ha'aretz means that only if it's Al Ha'aretz Yitame, but if it's Yorad Layam, Lo Yitame. Maybe that's what Al Ha'aretz means. So that if you have the Sheretz, which is Mitame, but it's in the Yam, then it would not be Mitame. Omar Le, it's because, said Rava to him, this is an important Yisod Bichlal. You don't choose at random what drasha to make. You choose a drasha where you have various options. You choose that which is reasonable in terms of how it fits the norms. What difference would it make, said Rava Tim, if you're ready to be marba that a species that is an Achbar Shebiyam is tame, does it make sense to be machalik between if it's in the yam or if it's in the yabasha? Mali hacha umali hacha. It makes much more sense the other way, to say it the other way around. That Al Ha'aretz is dafka coming to be motzi, the species that are not Al Ha'aretz, and not the location where you happen to be, b'shas maisa, that somebody comes into contact with. Ask the Gemara, but bichlal, how are we darshaning Al Ha'aretz to be memayit the Achbar Shebiyam? Al Ha'aretz is a drasha that we know is used all over. Hi, Al Ha'aretz v'boyle la'otzi suffik tumat safa. Normally, when we have a suffik, if someone was negea in something that was tame, the din is that b'rishut harabim it's tahar, and b'rishut hayachid it's tame. The way that we define Rishut HaRabim and Rishut HaYachid for the needs of this particular halacha has nothing to do with Mechitzot. It has everything to do with the number of people present. So Memela, because it's learned from Sota. So Memela, if there's not three people present, then it's considered to be Rishut HaYachid.
Public and private.
Yeah, public and private is more of the issue rather than the Tzuresa Mechitzot. So now the question is, if I have a Suffolk, and I have a Suffolk Rishut HaYachid, but that Rishut HaYachid is on the Yam. It's floating. So I have a question whether I came into contact with something that was floating on the water. The din is that I learn out from Allah Aretz that there is no Suffolk Tuma L'chumra Rishut HaYachid when something is floating on the water. The Omer of Yitzchak Bar Avidini, Allah Aretz is L'hotzi Suffolk Tuma Tzafa. So how can I use that? That's a general drasha for Kol HaTerekula. How can I use Allah Aretz to tell me the halacha of not Achbar Shabayam when I'm using it to tell me this halacha of Suffolk Tumah B'chlal? It says the Gemara, Tarte Allah Aretz K'tivei. We're not darshaning the same Allah Aretz. We're darshaning two separate psukim. Allah Aretz is mentioned twice in the psukim of Tumah. Ten Rabbana. Once already we've identified now, the Mishnah opened up the question about Achbarim, but there are other inyanim in the Pasuk that also require hesber as to what particularly they're referring to. So Tana Rabbana, Hatsav, it says also in the Pasuk, identifies the Tzav, let's say the Tzav is the turtle, but it says Lemineu. Lemineu always includes things that are related to that particular species, but would not be identified with the species mamash. What is that? That, says the Gemara, is lahavi et ha'arvad, not to be confused with the arod. The arod is a wild ass. This is a type of reptile, which is called the arvad, which is a poisonous reptile, and which is, again, this is a lot of these mythical creatures that we have over here. This is salamander territory. So this is the arvad that supposedly comes from the mixture of a tzav and a nachash. That's all right. Let's assume it's a turtle. Fine. So a tzav l'mineu lahavi ha'arvad. Lahavi ha'arvad, also the other gear server is ben hanipul, which is a type of tzav, and the salamander. Now, this salamander, of course, is not what we call the salamander. Well, maybe it is, but there used to be the belief that the salamander was a creature that came of fire. Basically, they got it, they dry.
20th generation fire?
Fire. Right, the fire salamander. So, this thing, if you use it, blood, you rub it on you, it gives you super anti-fire protection and so on. This was, again, note that all of these creatures are listed in the great compendium of creatures in the time of Pliny. These were known creatures. It's not the chat that somebody had to make these things up. Everybody knew about this. When Rabbi Akiva would come to this posik that was Marbe, this salamandra, he would say, it's remarkable that we have completely different environments for life on one planet. There are some creatures whose environment is the yam and only the yam. That's where they grow. There are other creatures that grow only on the yabasha. You take sea creatures. You try to bring them onto the dry land. They die immediately. Wrong environment. You take the same creatures that are on the yam, on the yabasha, put them into the yam, they also die immediately. Yeshka briot gdeilot ba'ur. Yeshka briot gdeilot ba'avir. Yeshka briot that are gdeilot ba'ur. They only can live in heat. Yeshka briot that are gdeilot only in the avir, the normal temperatures. And we know that today, it's exactly what we discovered with the deep sea vents, that these creatures that are only capable of surviving in temperatures that water can't even bear unless it's under tremendous pressure. The moment that you switch them around, Shabu'ur, Yomalei Olot Ba'avir Miyad Metot, Shabu'ur, Yomalei Yordot Lo'ur Miyad Metot. By the way, there's a very strange deal in this sugya. That is Merame, that we're talking about deep sea vent. Because the entire vision of antiquity is that you have the fire on top, the avir on the bottom. Right? And here he says, the avir ilmale yordot la'ur. And the ur ilmale olot la'avir. It doesn't make any sense. It's a very, very strange way of looking at it. Marabu Ma'asecha Hashem. Anyway, this is how Rabbi Akiva would end his comment on this pasuk. Tana Rabbana, Kol Sheyesh B'Yabasha Yesh B'Yam. Any type of creature on the dry land has a similar creature on the yam. Chutz min haChulda. The Chulda doesn't have an equivalent. The Chulda is probably not a rat, despite the use in modern Hebrew of rat for Chulda. It's probably a mole.
We saw it somewhere else. It was like a
It's something that burrows under the ground, and that's the main point of the tunneling. That's why it doesn't exist. A yam is the whole idea of it. It's a connection to the earth, which is called. So the chulda is related to the earth, and that's Omer Abizer Micro. Hazinu kol yoshvei choled. Yoshvei choled means that the earth is, by definition, chulda territory, so to speak. Because that's the point. It's a creature that relates to the earth. What would it be doing in a yam? Omer huna breder of Yeshua. You should know that bivri denarish ina min hayishuv. Not our girsa. Is the bivari. Bivari means the vivarian is usually is correct pronunciation. The vivarian means the creatures that hang around Narish are not Minayishov, which Rashi elsewhere explains means that they're not Gedelot Baretz. They're actually Gedelot Bamai. Because they're not included in Sheretz HaGeretz HaLoretz. It's very strange. Because we're going to be moving into a discussion of the horrible people in Narish, which we've seen before. And the Enoch Inami, the Rabbeinu Tam, has a girsa which is Bivari v'Narish, meaning these are two cities, nothing to do with the wildlife in Narish. It means that these people are so totally out of it that they're not considered to be part of civilization. So they're Einan Min HaYishuv. They are uncivilized humans. Omer of Papa, let me tell you something. Anybody from Narish should be Becherim. Beshamta Narish. I don't care whether you're talking about the Tarbe, the Mashke, the Alite, whether you're talking about the fat, the best of it, or whether you're talking about the skin, or whether you're talking about the Aliyah, meaning every last one of them, the best to the worst, the youngest to the oldest, they're all a bunch of uncivilized no good niggas. And as a matter of fact, the Pusik that says, Eretz, 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 Shimi Dvar Hashem, Rav Papa pointed out, there's only one place on earth that you gotta keep shouting, Eretz, Shimi Dvar Hashem. Narish. They don't want to hear the Dvar Hashem. Lo ava Narish Shmoa Dvar Hashem. Omer of Gidol Amarav, you know what people say. Nasha Nashkecha Mani Kakecha. If somebody from Narish kissed you, count your teeth. He must have stolen one of them. Then they have another saying, which is someone from Nahar Pakod, Nahar Pakod Alav Yach, Miglim Shapir de Chazi Alav. If somebody is walking along being friendly from Nahar Pakod, he likes your jacket. Watch out. And there's another saying, which is Pumbadita Lav Yach, Ashni Osh Bizach. Someone from Pumbadita has been walking hand in hand. Change your hotel room. He's got your keys and combination already guaranteed. Omer Avuna Barturta. I once went over to the laboratory areas where what they do over there is they generate kilayim, you know. I see a snake is having some kind of weird copulation with a turtle. Again, it's probably not a turtle, but that's the way we use it today. Liyamim yatsa arvad bibenehim. And after some time, somehow or another, an arvad appeared, which must... Huh? No, an arod is a mammal, an arvad is a reptile, as the Shita points out. The correct yours is arvad. Ukishabati lifnei Rabbi Shimon Hasid. I told him over this story. Amarli Amar Kadosh Baruch Hu. You know, these guys, emeviu biriyah shelo barati bolami. These guys are always Isaac in mating cross species. Afani avialeim biriyah shelo barati bolami. I will bring this weird thing, which is a poisonous, deadly poisonous, the arvad. We have the whole story of Rabbi Hanina. I asked the Gemara, how is it possible that these two species should be able to reproduce? The Omar together. The Omar Mar Kosha Tashmishan, the Buran Shava, Yoldinu Magadlin Zebize. Any two species that have the same copulation technique and they have the same period of gestation, they can reproduce with one with another, and they can suckle one another. But kosh intash bishan viburan shava, in yodinu begadlim zemizen, a snakes and turtles have an awfully hard time getting together, and they have a different gestation period. Omar Rav, well, it's a nes betoch nes. It wasn't only that this Arvad is a weird, insane creature, but it's also a miracle that they were able to reproduce. Wait, I mean, why do you call that a miracle? I mean, a miracle usually means, you know, it's all those Reader's Digest things, miracles. I mean, you know, this is a bad thing, isn't it? This is Puranutahi. Yeah, Neis B'Tach Neis Puranut. Why not? You have miracles that bring horror. It's miraculous horror. The Chassam Sofer says, this type of horror is great, so it's a miracle. Finally get something.
Very appropriate for Halloween.
That's why I was just starting to think it's Halloween.
I thought it was yesterday.
No. Okay. Appropriate. Excuse me. The Gemara that's appropriate for Halloween is Amud Bey. We discussed this Ryan got pumpkins and made jack-o'-lanterns. Right. And it, believe me, we could do a lot better for Halloween than just the castle. What's the matter with you guys?
Is this a species definition? Which can be...
There's an interesting, by the way, there's an interesting shalah that talks about kol ma sheyesh b'yam, yesh yet magoy sheyesh b'shay yesh b'yam. That that's a reference to the medrash of olam hazeh domeh liyabasha and olam haba liyam. And that the real meaning of the Gemara is that it's not that you have two completely different realities, that whatever is in this world is exactly the same, but in a completely different... And it, yeah, it's nested within that world, but it's not like a different thing. Anything that you're Osik in has its reality in Olam Haba. This is an important yisod. Ha'ever v'habasar ha'medudalim b'vehimah mitamim tumat ochlim bimkoman. So getting on now with how far we would extend the din, we opened up the parak by discussing the question of the gathering together various things, what would give them a din of tumas ochlim, and so on, even up the discussion of the halal, which is similar to this type of issue. Here you have something that was cut off, b'chayav, so it's hanging loose. Let's say it was bit by an animal or something. But it's still connected. And we're going to discuss something about it, to what extent it's connected. Is it connected to the extent that it can actually be repaired or not? So here it's hanging loose. So the din is, it does not have a halacha of Eiver Min HaChai or of Basar Min HaChai. So that it's not going to be metame. Eiver Min HaChai is metame. This is not metame. And it also does not have a din of being part of the living animal, which seems to be a contradiction. We're going to talk about it. Because if you had a machshava that someone, let's say you're going to feed this to a goy, then the din is that it would be mekabel to masechli, pikabetza. And tzrichin hechsher. Nonetheless, it does require hechsher. Now, you would ask, based on the Gemara that we had earlier, why would it require hechsher? I thought kosher sofola tamei tum'ah chamura doesn't require hech, correct? So first of all, let us recall that basar min hachai is not metami. Only eiver min hachai is metami. But the basar part is not sofola tamei tum'ah chamura. But the eiver part, if it's going to ultimately fall off, so in the end, it would be metami tum'ah chamura. No. Because if I shech the animal before that, it's never going to be metami tumah chamura. Because we came out before that ein shchita osa nipul. So if shchita doesn't do nipul, it means that this thing was never disconnected from the animal. Therefore, the shchita will be metairet. Of course, it won't be kosher to eat, because it's still basar besara treifa. It's another form of treifas. Remember that treifas means anything that is outside of the environment in which it survived. The survival of this flesh is within the living organism of the mother. So treifa it is, but nevela, if it was shechted, it's not. And Eivrim and Achai, since ain't shechita is a nipul, it's not. Therefore, there's no reason to say that it's sofer l'tami tumah chamura. In order for it to be mekabel tumas eichel, and therefore, it has to get wet at one point or another. Once you go ahead and shechted it, nishchita, so then, if the behema to which it's attached is nishchata behema, hukshiru bidameha, then you do not need heksher of mayim, because dam is also a machshir, and it was tohar through the shkita from nevela, and therefore, in order for it to be bekabel to mas eichlin, it's no longer necessary to be machshir with water, because it's already mukshir bidam. So says Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Shimon Omer, lo hukshir. No, the dam for some reason was not machshir, and we'll see in the Gemara why not. If, on the other hand, the behema wasn't shechted, but rather died, meita behema, then abasar tzarich hekshar, then ein harchinami, you'll need to be makshir the basar with something, but only the basar, because basar is not metame, remember. So in that case, the aver itself, of course, is if mita, because mita is osedihu, so then it's ki'ilu it was parish menachai. If it's parish menachai, basar parish menachai is tahar. But the aver is metame, mishum aver menachai. But eno metame mishum aver nevela. Now, that doesn't seem to make any sense, because aver menachai, lechora, is metame like a nevela anyway. So what exactly do you mean by saying, well, it's metame, but it's only metame because mitas osed nipul. So in other words, it's as if it fell off b'chayav, and therefore it's only metame mishum aver menachai. But it's not going to be metame because it's part of a nevela. Lechora, there's no difference between a nevela and aver menachai. So that the Gemara will discuss. So says Rabbi Meir, and Rabbi Shimon is metaher, and we'll see what he holds. That seems very shocking. How could it be tahor? Okay, so let's start at the top. You say that it's metame only tumat ochli, right? But not tumat nevela, obviously. Okay. So tumat ochli nin tumat nevela lo. So explain to me what the case is when you say that it's hanging loose on the animal. What does hanging loose mean? I mean, is it still connected? Is it able to be healed? Is it going to grow now scar tissue and get rid of, I mean, either malin arucha. So then it shouldn't be able to be metame to mesochlet. It's part of a living organism. So why would it be metame? Lo letamu. V'idein ma'alin arucha. And if there's no way that it can ever be healed, so then it's not connected. So then why isn't it the tumas nevela? Tumat nevela, and here of course tumat nevela doesn't mean literally tumat nevela, but as Tosfos points out, here we're using the words loosely because eva menachai normally is metamic and nevela. It's only at the very end of the Mishnah that we make that distinction. So then if it's not connected, why isn't a metame as a eva menachai? Answers the Gemara, that's not a problem. Because once again you've made the assumption, we've seen this a number of times in this parak, once again you've made the assumption that there's no middle ground. Something, remember we talked about before, so we'd be either alive or dead, but that's not true. Here too you're making an assumption that if something is not actually attached and capable of life, that it's a nevela or an Avram Menachai, but that's not true. Really, la'olam de'in ma'alin arukah, talking about that it does not have any capability of reconstituting itself, but nevela is different, and this is the word that we've been using all along. Does shchita oset nipul? Does mita oset nipul? What kind of weird word is that, nipul? What does nipul have to do with anything? It's based on the pasuk. Since the Torah speaks about ki yipul minivlatam al kol zera zeruah, and it repeats that. This is talking about sheres, but it repeats it many times. Therefore, we use it across the board for nevela. Nevela has to fall off. That's the point. And if it hasn't fallen, then it's not considered to be yet within the parsha of Tumas Nevela. Sha'at yipol. So you could have something that is essentially dead, but it's not nipol. Tanya Nami, how can we have an equivalent case of ha'ever v'abasar medudalim b'veima? And here it says, "Beferish meurim b'chuta sa'ara." Yocho yitamu tumat nevela, Talmud lomar yipol. Here the Brayta says clearly, it's a din of yipol, ach yipol. Nonetheless, says the Gemara, you see the tumat ochlim mitamu. So you can have something that's connected, at least good enough to define that it's not considered to be fallen off, and that should be nogeya Shabbos. In other words, now if I disconnect it, so I'm gonna be oiker something on Shabbos, mikidula. This is a raya to exactly the point that was made by Rabbi Chiya Bar Ashi, Lagabe Shabbos. The Omer, and you see we're getting very close to Halloween here because we have things that are dead and yet alive. Yes, indeed. And that is going, of course, to bring us the pumpkins and jack-o'-lanterns and so on in a moment. So, here you've got these figs, and they never were picked. They ended up drying on the branch itself. They dried up on the tree. The din is that they're metamei tumas ochlin. But if you pick them on Shabbos, you're chayav chata. Weirdo. So apparently, that's exactly what he's saying. Just like we said over here, you can have something that's considered to be mechuber to makom gidulai. This meat, which is mechuber, even the chuta sara, is considered to still be mechuber, and therefore, indeed, legabe Shabbat, it should be considered to be telesh mi makom gidulo. Here too, you have figs. If you pull them off of the tree, you're telesh mi makom gidula. And yet they're considered to be eichlin. They're dried out, dried figs. The Turks do this all the time. And you can go up there and bite them. And therefore, why wouldn't they be bitami? Lema misayele. Let's see now here. You may tell me, why do we need misayele? We just brought a riot to from the Mishnah. But I mean, the point over here is that the Mishnah, I mean, it's still something of a leap to go from the dinim of Shabbos on a tree to the halachas of Nevela on an animal. I mean, I'd like to see that abstraction holds directly without my needing to abstract it out kedekach. And indeed, we do have exactly this case when it comes to jack-o'-lanterns. So, yirakotchit sabkubi ibeyem. How about if you have vegetables that have dried up on their stalk? Kagona kruvadlat. Let's say we have a pumpkin, and it's all dried out. Then it's not metame tumat ochli. But suppose you, when they were not dried yet, you were katsitsan, obviously that's what we're going to explain it as, you were katsitsan, and you dried them out. So then they would be metame tumas ochlin. Now, come on, you can't mean that. I mean, that's like, you dry out a pumpkin, it's like a piece of wood. I mean, surely you don't mean literally katsun v'yavshan sakadaita. That's crazy. Eitz bi'almu. That's mere wood. V'yom Rabbi Yitzchak, it means that you cut a pumpkin, almenat li'yavshan, you cut it in order to make it into a jack-o'-lantern, says Rashi. And therefore, you were going to let it dry. What a duff for Halloween. Come on, guys. You got to admit, this is the ultimate, you know? Right? So you want to dry out the pumpkin because you make these designs in a pumpkin. Maybe you want to use it as a container, as a lamp, or so on. So if that's what it's referring to, you had in mind that it should dry out. Nonetheless, if Lamaisa, it is comes in contact with Tuma, it still has a bit of awkward until it dries out. That's the case. Amanat Liabshan. Now, our assumption initially was over here that, so in other words, it's telling me it's not Emid Lachila, right? You were Katesitz for it for some other point. So you were going to make a jack-o'-lantern. So that's nonetheless doesn't Mavato the Shema. Now, Our assumption at this point was to tell me the din that dried pumpkin on the vine is not metame tumas oklim. That's not a chiddush. Because obviously it's HBAMA. I mean, why would I think that it's able to be metame? The chiddush is that other perot, that's our assumption, would be mekabel tuma, despite the fact that they're still on the vine. Which is exactly our case. We assumed there's no other point of mentioning it this way. So now let's analyze the diuk over here. What are we talking about? Hashar Perot, Dafka, we're talking about over here, time of the Kruva Dalat. We're talking about the case of a Kruva Dalat Dafka, because when they would be completely dried out, they wouldn't be Mene Achila at all. But Shar Perot would be Mitami. So now explain to me, what's the case? They would be metamim what? In a case where they and the ukets is dried out, meaning that for all intents and purposes, they are completely detached from this tree. The connection to the tree has dried totally. See, if we're talking about the yavshan ein v'uktzehen, pshita, elalav below uktzehen. It's got to be talking about that lamaisa, they are connected to the tree. It's just that they are totally dry. And that indeed is the chiddush over here. That even though legabe Shabbos, the oketz, it's still mechuber to the eitz. And therefore, if I cut it down on Shabbos, I would be chayev achatas. Le'inyin tuma, they have a din of eichlin and they have a din of tulushin. And that's exactly the ma'amar that Rabbi Chiya Barashi quoted Shmuel as saying. And this would be dealing exactly with the case that they were talking about. Vegetation, legabe the din on Shabbos, right? I guess that must be the whole point. Now, if that's the case, we have our chiddush. Says the Gemara, not necessarily. Lo olam ein v'uktehen. The katzitzan al menat liapshad itz tricha le. Your assumption was that there's a chiddush in both of these pieces. The first piece where they dry it out on their own, and the second piece where you cut them in order to dry them out. So the case where they, in order to dry them out, I understand is a chiddush, because they're even though you cut them down, that's not mevatel the shame oichlin from it, as long as they're not dry. Fine. The first part has no chiddush. Obviously, something that's an eitz is not metame. The only chiddush would be it's diyuk. But suppose the first part was only an introduction to the second part. Meaning that even though we're talking about a pumpkin which had it dried on its own and the vine wouldn't be roi lachila at all, if you pick it amanat to dry it, it's still going to be metame as long as it's not dried. How about if I read it like that? If I read it like that, there is no separate chiddush in the reisha. I'm only saying that reisha to introduce this piece. Maybe that's the case. You can't bring me a raya that necessarily the first case was said in order to provide the chiddush of Shmuel. Lav dafka. So we don't have a raya from here. Okay, says the Gemara, but I got a problem from the following. Toshma. Ilan shenifshach. You tear off a limb of a tree. Then the din is, if it has peirot, ubo peirot, those peirot have a din of tlushim, totally. In other words, you don't say, well, but they're still attached to a branch, and they're still completely fresh, and they're being yonek for the branch. They haven't gotten the message yet that they've been talush. No. If they're not attached to a tree, they're tlushim, totally. Okay, and that means they got me all halachas. They're eichlin, you picked them on Shabbos, you didn't pick them from a tree, and so on and so forth. Now, on the other hand, if they're still attached to the tree, but they dried yofshu on the tree, then they're still mekamechubarim. Now, let me ask you something. I mean, the word tlushin over here was not tlushin in some fashion. When you said that when you cut off a branch, they're tlushin, you mean they are tlush in toto, right? Okay, so if that's the case, just like when you say tlushin, you mean tlushin l'chol divrayim. So when you say mechubarim, you also mean mechubarim l'chol divrayim, even linyan tuma. So even though they're dry, they are not going to be mekabel tuma because they're still attached to the tree, which is the opposite of Shmuel's maimer.
And the limb is?
The limb is attached. The second case talked about where everything, it's a normal tree, it's contrasting the fact that something can be cut off and still be fresh and be earth limb. And something can be still on the tree but totally dried off, and it's not eichlin. That's what it seems to be contrasting, right? So it's mechuborim. Mashmah, it's not only mechuborim legabe Shabbos, it's mechuborim legabe kabbalas tumas eichlin. And therefore, what Reb Chiya was quoting over here, Reb Chiya Bar Ashi quoted Shmuel, seems to be clearly wrong from here. Says the Gemara, no, that call that a raya. Midi, irene, how could he eat? You were talking about the case of Tlushin and Achinami, Tlushin l'chol divrayim. We're talking about the case of Mechubarim. The Chiddush is in the fact that it should still be Chayav Achatas on Shabbos, but it's not telling you it's not Mekabel to Masechlin. Of course, Mekabel to Masechlin, why is it Tzenechlin? Fine. Now, we have this strange last piece of the Mishnah, according to which there's a machlokas, whether if it's nishchata, is it hukshur b'dameha, or it's not hukshur b'dameha. What is the machlokas between Rabbi Meir, who holds hukshur b'dameha, and Rabbi Yehuda, who holds that the Eber HaBedoldal was not hukshur b'dameha? Explain that. Omar, Rabba, they're arguing about whether the behema can be considered to be nasid yad le'eva. Clearly the case over here is that the blood didn't fall on that Aver itself. If the blood fell on that Aver itself, why would anybody say it wasn't Moshe? The question over here is the blood fell on the animal from the Shechita. Now there's a back leg that's loose. Is the blood on the animal considered to be a heksher for the Aver? That is a question of whether it serves as a yad, because yesh yad lehechsher. So if yesh yad lehechsher, then if the behema, I mean, it's a little bit sort of reversed. Usually the large animal to be the yad for the Aver is a weird way of looking at it. And that's the machlokas. Can you say that even though I could lift the Aver with the animal, the animal still can't be considered to be a yad? I mean, it's the ikker. What can the animal be considered to be a yad? That's the machlokas. Because the ma'aser of Rabbi Menasid yad le'ever, and that's Rabbi Meir Shita, ma'aser Rabbi Menasid yad le'ever, and therefore the blood did not affect the ever. Abaya says, no. That's it, it's certainly not a yad. question over here is whether it's one unit. Is an aver that's meduldled considered to still be connected? And that is the machloket about the old challah problem, where if you have a loose piece on your challah and you pick up the whole challah with the loose piece and it would tear off, would that be considered a shlema or not? Now, clearly you can lift up the loose piece by lifting up the big piece, but you can't lift up the big piece by lifting up the loose piece. And that's what's going on over here. You can lift up the aver by lifting the animal, but you can't lift up the animal by pulling on it with the aver, because then it just rip off. So, and this is our question, says Abai. The ba'ocheis katan ve'in gadol olayim okam milfige. The question over is where you try to lift something with a smaller piece, and it's not strong enough, the chibur isn't strong enough to bring the large piece along, that's the machlok. Mar savar, ocheis be'katan ve'in gadol olayim o. It still is considered to be connected, in which case the dam that fell on the animal fell on one unit with the aver. Mar savar inokamo. And by the way, I know that this is the way Rabbi Yochanan understood the machlokas here, says Abaye, because af Rabbi Yochanan savar bochis katan engodol oleimo complete miflage. How do I know that Rabbi Yochanan said that? Not because he said it openly, but because he pointed out that there was a contradiction in Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Yochanan said, gosh, Romi to Rabbi Meir, other Rabbi Meir. Did Rabbi Meir really say, Ocheiz bekatan ve'in gadol oleimo, it's still considered to be all one piece, areu kamo'u? Now, where did Rabbi Meir say that? Only in our Mishnah, right? So obviously he was taking for granted our Mishnah. And yet we have a problem, says Rabbi Yochanan, in which Rabbi Meir contradicts himself, but this is from the Mishnah in Tfulyom. We're over there. It says, Ocho shenifras, you cut a piece off of ocho, pusa, and it's still a little bit connected, like a challah. So it's mu'ura b'miktzat. Believe it or not, Rabbi Meir says exactly the opposite. He says only, Rabbi Meir Omer, im ocheiz bikatan v'gadol oleimo. If you hold a small piece of the challah and you'll be able to lift up the whole challah with it, then areu kamohu, and if it's touched by a tvulyom, the whole thing will become tameh, if it's truma. But if lav eino kamohu, and since, remember, a tvulyom only passes truma, if the tvulyom touches the challah, it's not going to be, even though they're touching, it's separate pieces. And a posel can never be matami anything. So the large piece, which is posel, even though it's touching the small piece, it's not one with the small piece. It would have to go one level down of tumah, but there is no one level down of tumah, something that's posel. It can't make a revi, and therefore the other piece will be completely kosher. This is a reversal of Rabbi Meir Shita here, where he's saying even if you lift up the animal with the leg and it tears off, the blood will be makshir the leg. Here too, the tvuyom should be the equivalent to the blood being makshir. The tvuyom should be metame, the leg of the challah, which is the little piece that's not fully connected. Mikoach miskasher, Rabbi Yochanan had no choice but to say, muchlefet hashita. That actually he holds ocheiz bekatan ve'in gadol ola imo is kamohu, and the Mishnah has reversed the sheet. Okay, see, I'm right. Otherwise, Rabbi Yochanan wouldn't have had any question. Never occurred to him to explain it like you say, whether it's Nasas Yad. But, you know, what was bothering him? I mean, isn't there obviously a difference between the din of Tful Yom, which is always like a hula Tful Yom? So, my kusha, Dilma Shani Lel Rabbi Meir ben Tful Yom Leshar Tumot. Can't there be a difference between the Chumrah of Tful Yom, which is always Kal, and the Chumrah of Tumas Eichlim in general from regular Tuma? Maybe that's the explanation. No, there is no explanation. Because Tanya, Rebbe, Omer, Echa Tful Yom v'Echa Char Tumas. Rebbe says you should know, do not make any differences la'alocha in the dinab of touching of a Tful Yom or touching anything else. They're all the same. Well, that's Rebbe. Maybe Rebbe Meir doesn't agree with Rebbe. I mean, I'm asking you, you're asking a kasha steering Rebbe Meir. His steer is so powerful, you're going to say it's a mix-up in his shita. Maybe not. Maybe he just does it all to Rebbe. Dilma Rebbe lo shanile, but Rebbe Meir is shanile. Omer Rebbe Yosha, yes, that's possible. All Rebbe Yochanan was saying is, Achi Omer Rebbe Yochanan, Ledivre Rebbe Muchlefes Hashita. Maybe it's true that Rebbe Meir argues, but if Rebbe is right, that there is no difference to be made between Tvoyom and other Negiah, we have no choice but to say that Rabbi Meir switched, or really he's got switched around in the Mishnah. Which means that the explanation of our Mishnah, according to Rabbi Yochanan, is that of Abaye. Namely, the question is, in Gadoloy Le'imai, is it considered to be one piece? Not one piece here, he's saying it is one piece. Memela the Dam Ashkita was Makshir, and Rabbi Shimon holds it's not one piece. Memela the Dam of the Shkita is not Makshir. Why not say it the other way? Ema b'sheretz latu yagbar, that's fine. Shekhetu basavakatu dama. But ha-shoret is not coming to tell me the bar of a rava business. It's koshu shoret. Afilu akbar shebiyam. Ah, you said, but it says ala-oretz. Ala-oretz is only coming to tell me where it's mitame. So if it's ala-oretz, it's yitame. But if it's yorad liyam, lo yitame. Said Rava to him, because it's just not, doesn't make sense. Me'achad ha-shavite liyam mokam tuma for the species. Then what's the difference where you touch it? Maliyacha, maliyacha. But wait, how could Al Ha'aretz come to be Mamayit the Yam? On Bibayla Lahotzi Safik Tumet Safa. Don't rebut your bar of it. Dimi Al Ha'aretz is Lahotzi Safik Tumet Safa. Yeah, but Tarte Al Ha'aretz Ktivit. Tan Rabban. Moving on from the Yachabar. Hatzav Lamineu. That is maybe Arvat. Uben Hanipul and the Salamander. Ukishoya Rebbe Akiva Magiela Pasik Zomer. Ah. Marabu ba'asecha Hashem, yesh gabriot gdelot b'yam, yesh gabriot gdelot b'yabasha, shebayam el moli olot b'yabasha miyad mitot, shebayabasha el moli yordot l'yam miyad mitot, yesh gabriot gdelot b'ur, yesh gabriot gdelot b'avir, shebu'ur il moli olot l'avir miyad mitot, shebu'avir il moli yordot l'ur miyad mitot, marabu ma'asecha Hashem, ton rabbana, kol shid yesh b'yabasha yesh b'yam, Chutz menachulda, Omer Bizera Maikra, Hazinu Ko Yoshua Cholet. Omer Vuna Mered Rav Yoshua, Bivri and Narash, or Bivri de Narash, Enan min ha Yishuv, Makokas Rashi and Tosfos. Omer of Papa, I say they should all drop dead, Beshamta Narash, Tarbe, Mashche, Velite, Eretz, 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 Shimi Dvar Hashem. Yeah, but that doesn't include Narash. Omer of Papa, Loava Narash, Shmo Advar Hashem. Omrav Gidol Amarav, Narsha Nashkecha Manika Kecha, Nahar Pekuda Lavyach, Miglima Shpira Dachazi Alach, Bumbaditai Lavyach, Ashani Evshpizach. Omrav Una Barturta, Pamachat Alachti Lavad, Vraiti Nachash Shukaruch Alatzav, Niamim Yatza Arvad Bibinehem, Ushabat Livni Rabbi Shimon Achasid Amarli, Amara Kadosh Baruch Hu Emi View Bria Shalobarati Balami, Afani Avi Aleim Bria Shalobarati Balami, Voma Markosh Tashmishan, Viburan Shava Yoldim Umagadlim Zemize, Koshein Tashmishan Viburan Shava Ein Yoldim Umagadlim Zemize, Omarav, indeed, it's a Nais Betoch Nais. What do you mean? But it's Puranut. The Reader's Digest isn't going to write it. No, my Nais Betoch Nais, the Puranut. You're going to write small miracles in this, people will be shattered. Ha'ever ve'abasar ha'medudalim b'veima mitamin tumat ochlim b'mekoman v'tzrichen ekshar. Nishkata be'ima u'ukshro b'dami ha'div Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Shimon Amar lo u'ukshro. Meita be'ima basar tzrich ekshar because it's only basar menachai. And the ever's mitamin mishum ever menachai because mita osanipul. But it's not matamim shomeiver and bin anavel. Diver Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Shimon mataher. Okay, so you're telling me to matoch leinim to matnavel alo. I got to get the case over here. Eat the malin arucha. So then, how could it be to matoch leinim? It's a living animal. If it's a nami lo letamu, dein malin arucha. So then, why isn't it to matnavel alo? Also nami letamu liolam dein malin arucha. But shiny to matnavel alo. The Rachman Omar ki yipo miniv latam ad shi yipo. Yirakot shetzamku b'ibehem kagon akru v'adalat, ein metamit tumat ochlin, katzitzan v'yavshan betarin tumat ochlin, that surely you can't mean Katzitz on the Yavshan. Sarkataitach, how is Eitz Bialmahu going to be Mitamit Umato Chlim? V'yomar Rabbi Elazar, Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, it doesn't mean they already dried. It means Katzitzan Li Yavshan, Amar not Li Yavshan. So then, what's the chiddush of the first part? Taima de kruva de latu, because since they're yavshu, lav bnei achila ninu at all. But shar perod would be metame. Again, you need to ask yourself, echidami, idi yavshan envu k'tehem, and there's no chiddush at all, pshita, ela lav below k'tehem. And it must be that nonetheless they're considered to be ochlin, despite the fact that they're totally mechuber for Shabbos. No, niolam envu k'tehem. And the whole point is to, as a lead into the last chiddush, which is katzitzan l'manat liyapshan. That's where it's trichale. Tashma ilan shenifshach ubo perot. Those perot are tlushin, despite the fact that they're still on the branch. On the other hand, yavshu on the tree, harein kebechubarim. Now this apparently is a total contrast, and therefore, my love, when you say tlushin, you mean across the board l'chol divrayhem. Bein le Shabbat, bein le din oytum aserchlin, af mechubarim is lechol divrayam. Nishvach araya. Midi ayre, akadi ite, akadi ite. Nishkata behem. And then you don't need hechsher according to Rabbi Meir, because the dam was machsher. According to Rabbi Shimon, the dam is not machsher. But my kamiflege, Omar Rabba, well, the dam fell on the behema. Is the behema nazid yad la'ever or not kamifli? Amar sabrein behema. Nazit Yadla Ever, and therefore the Dam isn't Marshir. Rabbi Meir holds Marsavar Bema Nazit Yadla Ever. Abai Omer, that's not the point. The question over here isn't Yad, the question over here is whether it's all one thing. And that revolves around the Shaila of Ochez Bikatan, the Ingadol Ole Imo, Kamiflige. Marsavar Ochez Bikatan, the Ingadol Ole Imo, Hareo Kamohu. And by the way, says Abaya, Rabbi Yochanan happens to agree with me. Af Rabbi Yochanan, so far, Bochus Bekatan, Vein Gadol Olei Mokam Iflege. The Rabbi Yochanan, Rami, the Rabbi Meir, the Rabbi Meir. Is it really true that Rabbi Meir also is Bekatan, Vein Gadol Olei Mokam Iflege? Now, where did he see that? Only in our Mishnah. Veramino, what about the Mishnah Tvul Yom? Okal Shenifras, Umuura Bemiktad, you got a piece of challah still hanging on by the burnt part. That pizza, sorry. Rabbi Meir Omer, Imoches, Bekatan, Vekadol, Oleimo, Areo, Kamo, Vimla, Venu, Kamo, and that contradicts what he holds over here in Chulin. And Rabbi Yochanan was forced to conclude that Mukhlefet Hashita. He said, why is it even a problem? My kusha, Dilmashani le the Rabbi Meir, Bain Ful Yom le Shar Tomot. Ah, no way, Jose. Tanya Rabbi Omer Echat Fuyom, the Echat Shar Tomot are exactly the same. Yeah, but I mean, maybe that's Rabbi's opinion. Dilmalo Rabbi lo Shani, but Rabbi Meir holds that it is Shani le. Om Rabbi Oshia, Inochinami. That's all that Rabbi Yochanan was saying. Hochi Om Rabbi Yochanan. Assuming that Rabbi is right, and that Rabbi Meir buys into that, that there's no difference, we have no choice but to say Mukhlefet Hashita in Tvul Yom, which is indicative of his learning here in our Varaita, like me, says Abai. It's a din in Eila Imei.